Yesterday, during Sidel Lopez's memorial service, some of you heard Pamela's story that I promised Sidel I was going to bring more love into this world. That, in essence, is my life's mission and the crux of my call to ministry. And by love, I'm not simply talking about what we often mean, romantic love. I'm talking about a quality of presence, an open-heartedness that bears witness to the beauty and the connectedness of all. But there's a second part to this call, too, because sometimes, frankly, during these times of division, of cruelty, hate, and violence that we see, it can be easy to want to crawl back into bed and pull the covers over my head and simply give up on this love stuff, right? The task can feel too enormous, and the hate too overwhelming. So the second part of my call, the second part, is to never give up. Never give up learning how to love more. Never give up opening my heart even when it's scared or has been broken. Never give up looking for love in all the dark places. Never give up figuring out how to be more loving even when it isn't easy. Never give up trying to heal divisions. Never give up encouraging us to love. And never give up remembering that love resides at the core of who we are. We simply need to remove the veils and blocks that we have erected in ourselves and in the world so that love can flow. Simply. Actually, I'm done with my story that this is hard to do, or that the forces of hate are stronger than the power of love, or that they're winning. Because love, my friends, is who we are. It's how we come into this world. It's at the core of our being. Who's ever stared into the eyes of a newborn baby and seen hate? Babies' hearts are open and trusting, their gaze filled with adoration and love, and you have a newborn baby in your family. I'm sure you can attest to that. Until we teach them otherwise. Until we teach them how to hate. And sadly, these days, it seems we really can't talk about love unless we also confront the reality of hate. Because just like it's hard to see the light without the dark, it's hard to fully comprehend love without its shadow, hate. And boy, there's a lot of it visible in the world right now, isn't there? It's coming to the surface of society more clearly now, just like it has during other trying times in our history. It seems to go in cycles, doesn't it? To ebb and to flow. Terrible things happen. We witness war, violence, bigotry, and extremism. And then the pendulum swings and we return to love for some decades, only not to have learned our lesson and repeat that cycle again. We saw hate come to the forefront during the establishment of slavery. We saw it during the Civil War. We saw it during World War I and World War II, and in the 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're seeing it rise again. But it isn't just during these trying times, is it? Though it's hard to speak this truth, it's also there likely inside all of us, or at least most of us, even if we find it hard to admit. Hate is there in our judgments and criticisms. It's there when we feel superior and insist that we're right. It's in our divisions and in our broken relationships, and it's there in power plays, in domination, and in disrespect. And if I'm honest, I could confess to hating the systems and the people that perpetuate continuous violence and cruelty on others. And ironically, I pride myself on being kind and compassionate. And I like to think that I see the world with an open heart and look for the best in people. But then I realize I too have a lot of anger and resentment towards the people willingly harming others and for the injustices that we are witnessing every day. How about you? Do you notice outrage and anger and even hatred in your heart at times? It can be hard to admit to ourselves, let alone to others. Many of us are able to express that anger and hatred at protests and actions by raising our voices. But then I realize that even though we are protesting for the greater good, our actions are often fueled by hate for the perpetrators and anger at the injustice. And that doesn't build bridges or help create solutions to problems. That just makes the other side wrong and creates further conflict and division. And this is why Martin Luther King Jr. and Mahatma Gandhi and other great visionaries insisted on nonviolence. They didn't want to return hate with hate. They called on us to do our spiritual work so that we could bring love into a space of hate. But beneath our anger, I believe, lies a broken heart. Many of us are so angry at the cruelty that we see because we want to build a more loving, compassionate world. Our anger covers up our grief and our sense of helplessness in the face of such ongoing brutality. But that grief and helplessness have also been paralyzing our love. It becomes too painful to keep our hearts open, doesn't it? So we build walls around our hearts to protect them, to not feel the terrible pain that is being inflicted on so many. Yet as Unitarian Universalists, my friends, we side with love, don't we? We want love to win. We want people to be safe and respected. We want people to be treated with dignity and worth, don't we? That's our faith's calling. So how do we fill ourselves with loving kindness that great prophets call for and we just sang about? The ancient Hindu texts, the Upanishads, say, all the universe has come from love, and unto love all things return. So how do we access that love when we're surrounded by so much hate? How do we contact it when many of our experiences in life have caused us to close down our hearts, to block the flow of love? Is it just a nice hymn that we sing based on the Buddhist metta loving kindness meditation? Or is there actually a way to fill ourselves with loving kindness? Or perhaps even unveil the loving kindness that's already within us? Alice Walker writes, love, if it is love, never goes away. It is embedded in us. Like seams of gold in the earth, waiting for light, waiting to be struck. waiting to be struck. Can we dig for the gold of love in our hearts? The gold of love that never goes away, that is embedded in us, as Walker assures us. How do we find that treasure? How do we let the light in that illuminates this love, that lets us find this gold? Well, it's easy when we're holding a newborn baby, isn't it? Or when we're freshly in the throes of new love. Or when we see a cute kitten video, or we cuddle with our animals. Or when we're outside in nature, taking in the beauty that surrounds us. But how do we source and become more loving in our day-to-day? When there's pressure at work, or difficulties at home, when there's ongoing terrible news of atrocities, when we have rent to pay, or medical diagnoses to deal with, or we're feeling marginalized or oppressed. It's harder, for sure. Are you willing to do a little experiment with me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I invite you to close your eyes for a moment if you feel comfortable. I'd like us to take a minute to focus on our hearts. Or put anything you have in your hands down and place your hands on your heart. And in your mind's eye, put your attention on that area. Can you feel your breath going in and out? Can you feel the thump, thump, thump of your heart? The pulse of your aliveness? Now gently let your hands drop down into your lap, but keep your eyes closed and your mental attention on your heart. Let's take a moment now to imagine peeling back the layers of whatever shields your heart. Imagine taking down any walls that protect your heart from the world. Now, it might feel a little scary, but we're just doing this in our imagination. Imagine that you can see your golden, radiant heart shine with no walls or protection around it. Now open your eyes very gently while keeping that image of your golden open heart. And focus your eyes softly on something or someone near you. Just look straight ahead and rest your eyes gently on whatever's before you. Now imagine that you're looking out at the world from the perspective of your golden open heart, that your eyes are in your heart area, and that you're perceiving the world from there. Take a deep breath and just notice how you feel, perceiving whatever's in front of you with an undefended heart. Now make a mental note if you observe anything different, if you struck the gold of your heart, and if you found more love, more compassion, and more tenderness in your gaze. This, my friends, is how we see the world through the eyes of love. Remember Alice Walker's words, love, if it is love, never goes away. It is embedded in us, like seams of gold in the earth, waiting for light, waiting to be struck. So perhaps some of us had an opportunity to strike love just now. Some of us struck love, even just a little. Love as felt through an open heart. Love as illuminated by pulling back the thick walls or veils that protect our hearts. If you did, I wonder if you might be willing to experiment with people during coffee hour. Try engaging with them not from your mind, but by seeing others through your heart. I invite you to play with it. Make an experiment of seeing through your heart and just noticing what you perceive and how you feel, just one moment at a time. It's okay to close up and then reopen, close up and then reopen. But practice trying to just see through your heart. Because it's seeing with that love, that open heart, my friends, that has the power to transform the world. Can you feel it? Can you? And if you didn't feel it, don't worry. It's there. It's inside all of us. Sometimes it just takes more practice to find it, as anything takes practice. So I invite us to never give up. Join me in that call to never give up. The Persian Sufi poet Rumi said, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." Remember how the coconut monk in our story earlier transformed hatred into something beautiful? He took the old armaments and instruments of war and made them into a sonorous bell. And he also worked on his own capacity for peace amidst war through meditation, which allowed the cat and mouse to joyously play in his company without fighting or harming one another. So that's another way to deal with our disquieted mind, to meditate. And meditate some more, to bring a peaceful field into the world. Because if we do our own work to create more peace in the world, there will be room for the seeds of love to blossom everywhere. During my research, I also came across a group called Raw Tools. Their motto is forging peace, disarming hearts. Founded by two young gun-owning Christian men, they aim to turn violence into peace and fear into trust through relationship, dialogue, and resources, welcoming neighbors with loving arms rather than bearing arms. They invite people to disarm by turning in their guns, and then they saw them in half and weld them together into gardening tools, which they give away. This group was inspired by biblical phrases from the New Testament in Mark and Micah, which say, "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will train for war no more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and fig tree. No one shall make them afraid." Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a world where no one makes anyone else afraid? Doesn't that sound like an endorsement to put down arms and sit peacefully under a tree and meditate? An invitation to build more peace and love in this world? And apparently they are successfully appealing to numerous Christian gun owners. And in these times of hate and division, my friends, it is incumbent upon us not to fight hate with hate, not to fight anger with anger and division with division if we are truly to side with love as our faith calls us to do. It is incumbent upon us to counter hate with love, to counter anger with peace and compassion, and counter division by bringing people together. We need to listen to one another and aim to understand each other. That is how we love. If we simply join the narrative of opposition, then hate and division win. So let's amplify that which is good, that which is loving, that which heals, that which is connecting. Let's summon our spiritual courage so we may indeed transform the world through justice and compassion with love. So what are the ways that you express your love in the world? The Coconut Monk and the Guns to Tools program showed us clearly how to bring more love and peace into the world. But I ask you, what is your way? How can you employ your talents to bring more love into this world? It's urgent. What's one thing that you could do where you see a need to bring more love? Now, some of you do it by engaging in thoughtful advocacy. Others of you do it through deep listening. Some of you do it by creating and sharing beautiful art or music. Others of you do it through good deeds and acts of kindness with no expectation of return. And many of you do it through service to a higher call or a greater need. Desmond Tutu said, "A good deed doesn't just evaporate and disappear. Its consequences saturate the universe. And the goodness that happens somewhere, anywhere, helps in the transfiguration of the ugliness." I believe the call of our faith, my friends, is to saturate the world with goodness. Let's be countercultural and find ways to spread kindness and compassion. In fact, I get weekly emails from a place called Small Victories, which, unlike all the bad news that we get in our inbox, celebrates and highlights all the good things that are happening in the world, all the victories with our justice work. Do the good deeds, lift up the good deeds of others, share your joy, your open heart, your kindness. And remember our Golden Heart meditation if you'd like quick access to seeing the world with love. Because as you perceive the world with more love, you will spread more loving thoughts, actions, and goodness around the world. What do you need to not get swept up by hate, anger, and division? And consciously spread love instead. So I challenge us, because you know I like to do that. We all have places where we feel more contracted and more walled up than others, don't we? I challenge us to find love wherever we can. Start with one person or one situation in your life where you could tolerate just a little less defensiveness around your heart, to allow love to breathe. And then I dare us to be love whenever we can. And that's really seeing the world through an open heart like we did in our meditation. And finally, I call on us to spread love, to sprinkle it however we can by sharing kindness, compassion, and good deeds with others. I hope you will join me in never giving up, even when it's hard. So here's a little ditty for you to remember. Read it with me. It's on the top of your order of service when you open it up. Find love wherever you can. Be love whenever you can. Spread love however you can. That's the way to change our world. Let's say it again. Find love wherever you can. Be love whenever you can. Spread love however you can. That's the way to change our world. And let's change the words to we rather than you. Find love wherever we can. Be love whenever we can. Spread love however we can. That's the way to change our world. May it be so. Amen.